Hallelujah. Am I on? Am I on? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. I want to activate all what they have received into this congregation, into the body of Christ, into the atmosphere of this nation. That is what they went for. We become vessel to release the power of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I take authority over powers of darkness and confusion in Jesus' name. And I speak life, truth, revival. I speak resurrection life. Resurrection life. Resurrection life. Be healed. Be healed. Be revived. I activate the gift of miracles and healing right now into the physical body of people. In Jesus' name, be healed and be made whole. I activate life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Something is happening in the world and in the church. When God looks at the world, this is how God perspective, safe and unsafe. He looks at the world, the globe, he sees the people who do not know Jesus and the church. Say with me, the church. He looks at the people who do not know Jesus, he sees the church of Jesus Christ. This is how God looks at the world. He looks at us as a redeemed, bought by the blood of Jesus. That's how he looked at it. And in this time, or rather, in fact, in the year 2000, the church is now becoming a prominent body. Everybody is looking. Too long it was like the pearl in the under the sea, on the oyster. Now it's coming up. It's coming up. And people will now talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. What's happening in the world and what's happening in the body of Christ will be revealed. The world is getting darker, darker, more dangerous. Many things are happening. And we got to be aware. Isaiah tells us the world is becoming darker. But in the church, there's revival. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh from the day of Pentecost. It's now been poured. Ever many are becoming, turning to the Lord. We saw the witness of the Islamic man or the Muslim man who came to know the Lord. These are the things that are happening as a result of prayer of the saints. The Holy Spirit takes, you know, you say the Holy Spirit is sent to convict men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit moves when the church start praying. You start praying for your family, your unsafe relatives or yet to be safe relatives. The Holy Spirit used that pathway and began to target, and things will change. Amen. This city will change. The university will change. Byford will change. Darlington will change. Many things will change. Amen. And we have to be prepared for the change. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus died, buried, rose again, 3 days, 3 nights, the unseen work. Then he rose up. The Bible tells us he 40 days and 40 nights, he talked about the kingdom of God. Then he ascended, he glorified, and now he's in the throne, enthroned as the high priest for us, as the head of the church. He's in heaven in session. Then he sent the Holy Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The church was birthed from Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. For 2,000 years, the church has been going from strength to strength to strength. And now there is going to be a great explosion. Everything that the church lost in the middle, in the Dark Ages, now been restored. And to be exact, 2008, many of the the gifts and the fruits and the dimension have been put back into the church, and now it's taking on to a new dimension. Soon, Christ will come back. And what is he waiting for? He is waiting for the prophetic word and prophecies to be fulfilled. And one of the things is the restoration of the fivefold ministry as equippers, not as titles, and it's also making the church to maturity. Say with me, maturity. Maturity. And this morning I want to share with you, in the dealings of God, we got to be aware of certain things that is taking place. Jesus, in the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, declared and said, "He that hears my word and do it," and then he said, "He that hears my word and don't do it, or do not do it," and then he gave a parable of the house. Say with me, the parable of the house. Both are building a house. Both, the one who hears the word and doing it, applying it, building a house on a rock. There's another one who builds a house on sand. Both are beautiful house. Both are like darling down house. They're beautiful outside, admirable. Many people just say, "Wow, what sort of beautiful house." Then the Bible tells us three tests will come. Everybody. First, the flood will come. And flood is always said to be a test for your foundation. If your foundation is weak, you'll collapse. Then the wind came in. Three tests. The wind. Say with me, the wind. The wind hit at your structure. And then the rain came in. Rain means the covering. It tests your covering. Three tests we go. For your life, for your character, for your marriage, for your family, for the church, for the nation. Whenever God reveals a truth, these three tests will come. You venture into something, you venture into a relationship in marriage, these three tests will come. When you start a family, these three tests will come. Venture into a business, these three tests will come. A nation, and the church, the test of the wind that will come. And we got to be aware what you are going through this morning in any aspect, in your life, in your character, in the ministry, in your family, in your business, in the nation, church. These three tests will come. Don't be surprised when things begin to take. God put this to establish us. Amen. Let's read the text for this morning. And I want to specifically share on covering against deception. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 29. Everybody read this verse. It's on the screen. Okay? Can you read? Can you put the words? Everybody verbalize. This is the only scripture that I'm going to give. The rest I'm going to give it in principles. Read with me. We're going to take a full context, Jesus, what Jesus did. Okay? One, every unity, yeah? Read it. One, two, three. Beware of false prophet who will come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolf. You will know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or for fig from thistles? Even so, a good tree bears good fruit, and bad tree bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad fruit bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by the fruits you will know them. Not everyone who said to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many who said to me on that day, "Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and in your name?" Then I will declare to them, I never know you. Depart from you, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken to him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears the word of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain descended, the flood came and beat the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended the saying, the people were astonished at his saying, and for he taught as one who has authority, not as a scribe. Okay, because Jesus is the authority. He is the Prince of Life. He is the life. He is Creator. He knows the principles of God. Say with me, God works by principles. Say with me, God works by principles. Say it again, God works by principles. There is an underlining principle that we got to grab. The methods may change, the implications may change, the methodology can be cultural, but it's nothing wrong. It can change. But the principle cannot change. Say with me, the principle can never change. The flood tests your foundation. I want to advise all those who have not gone through or not familiar with the foundation, we have a study called The Principles of Church Life, coupled with New Believer's Manual. Go through it. It's in our website, especially The Principles of Church Life, 25 lessons. Read it. Not only read it, apply it and say, Lord, I want to be a man who knows doctrine. I want to be a person who repents. It talks about repentance. Then it's putting faith in the Lord Jesus. I want to be a man who goes through water baptism, who goes through spirit baptism. I'm going to apply this and say to yourself, I want to be an expression of these principles. If not, it's just dry. And I pray that the 25 lessons will be an expression of your life. If not, it just goes here and nothing else. Changes come by hearing and hearing the word of God and applying it. Say with me, applying it. I would call it total obedience. Total obedience to what the Holy Spirit is telling through the word. The flood always tests our foundation. It'll come in seasons. Every time there is a change in your life, every time God wants to do something, your foundation will be tested. Not to destroy you, but to establish you. And some of you are going through. And the more you get insights, you see, God speaks to us in four dimensions in every service, whenever the people of God, whether in this service or life group or in your prayer meeting or even in the teaching, he downloads from heaven. Revelation, say with me, revelation. That is from the heart of God. He takes the word of God and drop to us revelation, reveals to us things. And it's not mystical, it's based on the word of God. Then he gives knowledge. Say with me, knowledge. Knowledge had to do with our head. We need to understand what is repentance, what is doctrine, sound behavior. Unsound behavior, because sound, unsound doctrine, we got to correct it. Then we have, so he'll test you. Say doctrine. The next one will come is your structure. This is where many of us have problems in the church structure, in the home structure. And this structure must be strong. God has put ordained structure for home, husband and wives, families, the church, your company, the nation. God has put divine authority that you have put into structures. The structure in a home is to be, when a man takes a covenant of marriage, so marriage is consumed only in covenant, not just staying together. marriage covenant, the husband, God downloads from heaven headship. Say with me, headship. The man becomes a headship. I'm going to divide headship and leadership. Leadership had to do skill and grace, both together. But headship comes as a result of your marriage covenant. And that headship comes from Christ, and Christ download from God to Christ, and it's upon the man. So the man becomes the image and the likeness and the glory of God. That is found in 1 Corinthians. Then the glory of the man is found in the woman, in the wife. So how much the structure of man in with Christ is how much your wife's bloom. That's the structure of the home. Same with the church. God has put Jesus Christ as our protection, as our head, and he sets out leaders in the church, and he puts out a set man or a woman together. And how much they are connected is how much you have your dimension of leadership comes in. And headship comes in. Say with me, headship. Headship is very important at this particular time. So that is structure. And everything we have a Christian home in our 25 lesson, that is structure. That is principles. You apply it, it changes your life. Amen. It's there in the website. It's in our church office. We also will do classes for you. But classes alone is not enough. You're applying it. Then the roof or the covering where the rain protects is very important. You can have strong foundation. You can have strong structure. But if you have no roof, I will not bring my furniture, my television, my books into a house without roof. You need protection. We are living in a time where protection and security becomes an issue of great concern, even in the natural. So is the spiritual. There is structure. And what is that structure? Is giving you truth, protection, growth, security. And this morning I want to share with you about deception. If your covering is not true or not real, we are talking about reality of God, reality of structures. If your covering is not there, you can be deceived. Yeah. Anybody can be deceived. And this is the whole thing. And I'm not talking about foundation today because we are okay with that structure. We're going to talk about deception. Say with me, deception. Deception. Okay, what is, first of all, when God began to talk about covering or protection, God ordained at least four authorities on this earth which represent God. The primary one is the father and mother. That becomes your protection. The next one, which has the will of God, is the church. Of course, the other one is civil government, which all of us have to go. And then the other one is your commercial authority. But the one that really gives you real protection is your parental authority and church authority. Church authority as a vision. Working together, because the home is a part of the church. Say with me, the home is a part of the church. It works together. God works together. Protection is very important. And protection, what is the attack? Where is the attack? It's in your mind. If your doctrine is shallow, you'll be attacked. Because everybody is saying, every religion seems to be saying they are the true religion. But we are not talking about religion. We are talking about Creator God, Jesus Christ. You can only know God only through Jesus Christ. No other way. It's a personal experience with God. The protection. Say protection. Very protection. Okay, let me give you a few insights, and I want to give you seven guidelines or seven principle guidelines I've applied. You apply it, you'll be safe from deception. Okay, covering has to do with submission to leadership, authority of God, of Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, verbalize with me. Covering is submission to the leadership and authority of God, of Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. It involves the full and total obedience to the Word of God. If you can capture this, you've got your principle right. It's not had to do with personality. It has to do with the Word of God. It has to do with God. It has to do with the Father. It has to do with Jesus. It has to do with the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And it involves total obedience to the Word of God. I want to clarify one word before I proceed. Say with me, submission. Today, submission is a very difficult word. Everybody have their own concept about submission. When I talk about submission, many people with human rights react. But if you can get the biblical understanding of what submission is all about, it frees you. There is no freedom apart from submission. If I'm not submitted to God, I have no freedom. Bondage comes when you come out of the covering. So submission is total accountability and total responsibility. Say with me, total accountability and total responsibility. That is it. You're accountable to God, to what you're doing, and your accountability and responsibility. You take your responsibility. And what happened? God gives you His protection. We are talking about biblical. Submission is total accountability. So it means total accountability and total responsibility is found in our 25 lessons, in our 25 lesson of church life principle. It's very important to have this principle. It's not bondage. It's not control. It is not manipulation. I know in leadership, if it's not of the Holy Spirit, manipulation can come in. But we are talking about real leadership comes from the Holy Spirit. And God will guide us. It's total accountability to God and to the authorities that God has placed. And responsibility. Responsibility will give maturity. And this is where our protection comes in. This is where our growth comes in. I want to take the first principle when Adam and Eve, in fact, I put Eve and Adam, disobey the word of God and the will of God. Everybody know about the fall of man? Yeah. A teacher in a Sunday school was asking one boy after studying about the fall of Adam and Eve. He says, boy, you're a smart Alex who talk a lot. He said, tell me what happened at the fall. And the boy said, I don't know. Did he bounce back? And the teacher was shocked, talking about Adam and Eve. I pray that you will have the exact understanding about what the Bible talks about the fall of man or fall of man. When Eve and Adam disobeyed God and the will of God, God said, don't eat the forbidden fruit of the knowledge, fruit of knowledge and evil, good and evil. He says, well, the moment they came out, what happened was, you remember the story when Eve took it, bite that fruit, and gave it to Adam. When Eve took it, there was nothing happened. Then when he gave to Adam, all of a sudden, everything broke loose. They lost the covering. They lost their identity. They found themselves naked because the righteousness is taken. And this is what I'm saying to you. They lost the covering out of divine, they came out of divine authority and protection and left to them to deception. And from there, man began to have their own concept about God until God had to take an animal, cut that animal, and give them a coat of animal skin. And that is salvation. That is redemption. Adam and Eve will be in heaven because of that act. You come out of it, you'll be attacked in deception. That is the principles that we got to find ourselves, that it is It is important that deception is prevalent today. The devil is a deceiver, is a slanderer. The devil out, like what he did to Eve, he said, you will be like God, and put question mark on the word of God. And Eve bought that doctrine and began to have egoistic ambition, and he fell. From that day, man have been deceived. Say covering, divine covering. It's very dangerous. I read on one man by the name of Petlock. He is a student in, as a student in 1969 in Chicago, studying in the university, and after finishing, after finishing his research, and he said, I'm going to graduate. Before that, let me go and look for life. So he looked through the library books, and he began to look at all the religious side, and his eyes fell on the mythology religion in India. So he said, after my graduation, I'm going to go and look for God, because I came from a church, there's no miracles, nothing. Since whenever the church don't proclaim the full truth, deception comes in. He looked, he took at the book, took a flight, went to India, and to cut the whole story short, he ended up with Sai Baba's group and became a very devout man, became his second man, began to be. And because he saw miracles, signs, wonders, he began to see the whole thing, but his heart was still empty. And finally, he found that they were operating on a demonic spirit of that they cannot come out. He somehow or other said, I must get out from there. And somehow or other, someone gave him the gospel. And he found the whole deception, and he came out. He said that the spirit world of the demonic world is so strong when the word of God is not there. And he said, how foolish I was. Where I have no word of God, I do not know Jesus, and the hunger and thirst for God went into this direction. He wrote a book called The Prince of the Air. If you can get that book, it's about his testimony. And in his conclusion, he said, don't dabble with this supernatural power. And he warned people from yoga. Yoga is a spirit that goes into your nervous system. Even though it's exercise, it's dangerous. Deception. There's a lot of deception. I'm citing that because I was reading that book. But deception can come in many forms. And especially when you have access to the to internet. And internet is going to be a tool the devil uses, but internet is going to be used by God to explode revival in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. I will say there are four types of deceptions. Did I put it inside? There are four types of deception. I'm just going to skim through because we will try to formulate. One is self-deception. That's the most dangerous one when you do not know you are deceived. Another one is demonic or satanic deception. The other one is human deception, philosophy. Philosophy, a lot of philosophy. And I'm very tired and quite skeptical about people having self-help book for life. They talk a lot and they say this will happen and they politician gives you a lot of hope, but actually they give you peanuts, one or two. Some of them take a biblical principle and give you one, and you can get disappointed. But the only self-help that will change is the word of God. Don't be deceived. The world doesn't have anything. Even the principle they pick up from the word of God is only one principle, but we need the whole counsel of God. Amen. Self-deception. And human, self, divine, and human, and satanic, self. Hey, that's. There's one more. I didn't write the. Well, whatever it is, it'll come in a time. Okay, here it is. There is satanic deception. If you want to have a fine, Satan uses this deception. Revelation 12, 9 and 20, Revelation 20, verse 3 and 8 and 10. Then there's human deception is found in 2 Timothy chapter 7. And Jesus mentioned about Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, 5, and 11, and 24. He tells about human deception. The other one, which is sinful deception, okay, is found in Hebrews 3:13. Sinful deception is when you are a Christian, but you're living in a substandard with sin, you compromise. You soon begin to compromise. My greatest shock came in when I came into ministry, and a year later I found a minister was preaching the word of God, but living in deception or moral impurity, and also deception he has. And I say, how can this be? We began to look at the side of miracle takes place. You see, miracles and signs and wonders are not a credential that you are living a holy life. It's the character. You'll know them by the fruit. It took me some time later to recover from that type of shock. That is self-deception. If you live in sin, you're dull. You see, when you choose to believe in deception, God, the Bible tells us God puts delusion into your spirit. And you can be deceived. That is why love for truth is very important. The sinful deception. These are the four deception. It's a study itself, but it's good to repeat. Say with me, satanic deception, human deception, self-deception, and sinful deception. But the most dangerous one is self-deception. You do not know that you are deceived. Okay. Take this and tuck it in your spirit, what I'm going to share with you. I'm going to not deal with deception, but I'm going to share with you how you can cover yourself from deception. Principles that will help you and me in these last days. Number one, stay in the harmony with God's words. Genesis 3:1-7. Stay, number one, stay with me. It's good to, I'm just putting a principles and you fill up the flesh, okay? Stay in harmony with the word of God. Say with me, stay in harmony with the word of God. Genesis 3:1-7. You got to come to a conclusion by experience that the Bible is the inspired word of God, the final authority in my life. There is no truth apart from the word of God. And God will not speak apart from the word of God through the church. Are you with me? I mentioned some time ago, the Bible is the word of God. There are 66 books inspired, all as one theme, and it's the bestseller in the world. But it's the only book where the author is still alive, the Holy Spirit. When you read the scripture, the Holy Spirit, the author, will begin to speak to you. It can change. Stay in harmony with the word of God. The Bible has principles. Get the principle and apply it. You will change. It's total obedience to the word of God. Amen. Can I have an amen for that?
Amen.
Say harmony with the word of God.
Amen.
We are going to stress the word of God. That is why we have so programmed to expose everything. You know, there are times that we do not know the word of God, which I must confess many times we do not know, but we begin to learn. I didn't know the scripture before I was born again in 1967. After that, I asked my pastor, will he teach me the Bible? He said, yes, he teach me. And we went through the Ten Commandments and everything. And then finally, he knows his limitation. He gave me a cassette tape of David Pawson's Bible survey. That's the first time I began to see, the Bible got 66 books. And then from there, we begin to learn. Many fivefold ministry have been teaching. The best for me and Pastor Major and even the church is Dr. Kevin Corner, giving us the deep insights. We no one is self-made. Everybody is enters into another man's labor, and we begin to have what God, the Holy Spirit, takes, and we grow with it. Amen?
Amen.
Harmony with God's word. Soap program is very important. If you're still struggling in your devotional life, contact your cell group leaders, contact us. We will give you a way to how to take the word of God. Number two, stay under the covering and authority of Christ. Psalms 92, verse 13 and 14. Stay under the covering of the authority of Christ. I'm talking about covering of Christ. You got to be in Christ. Say with me, in Christ. In Christ. Whenever you are in Christ and God uses the church, which I will come the next one, God uses, you know, the Passover home. Remember when Israel was coming out of Egypt and Pharaoh hardened his heart and he said, no, 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 no. Then God said, I'm going to slaughter the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And he said, but the church, or the church in the wilderness, take a Passover lamb and put it, the blood over the doorpost and stay inside the house. The moment the death angels pass by, you will be protected. And this is a picture of covering under the covering of Christ. Another one is Rahab, the scarlet thread. Number three. Number three, I think I gave you a wrong order. Maintain the love of God for truth. Do I have that? Maintain the love for truth. You got to say, God, I want to know the truth. If you don't have the truth, then you can be deceived. In every aspect, say, what is the truth behind the principles? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and John chapter 8, verse 30-31. He said, maintain, look for truth. There are many people who claim truth, but look for the biblical truth. Does it change? Okay, number four is beware of spirit. I want to put in for number two. You got to come under the church that God has put for you, the house of God that God has put in the inserted. That God puts you into a church. God works His way. But the moment when you accept Christ, you are added to the Lord. Say with me, added to the Lord. And then you are added to a local church. You are added to the body of Christ, but that comes to materialize only in a local church. And in the local church, Jesus is a head. In fact, I would say a true church. And in that church, you'll be protected. Okay? The next one. Now, what are we in? Okay. Beware of spiritual pride and intellectual pride. We are living in a time where God is exploding knowledge, revelation knowledge. God is giving revelation. God is giving prophetic utterance. God is releasing doctrines. All these are given by the fivefold ministry, by the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you will be equipped to equip the body of Christ. The fivefold ministry is not a title of authority. They equip us to equip the saints. None of us on this planet Earth have knowledge when you're born, and when you're born again. Many of the things we did not know. There was a time in the natural time, I do not know how to spell cat, C-A-T. There was a time I did not know my name, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or A-B-C. Someone patiently waited and helped me through, the teachers or tutors or parents. In the spirit, the same. Someone has taught you Genesis, Exodus, the whole Bible. Someone has taught you about Jesus Christ. Someone has given you deeper understanding, the parables. All these are given to you, not that you can be proud of or you can share to the body of Christ. One, bring one. Share what you have so that the knowledge will be increased. It's not a price. Beware of spiritual and intellectual pride. And this has caused many formation of denomination. And deception has come in. The next one, maintain submission to the Spirit at all time, particularly through the authorities God has given to us. I'm talking about your attitude. Submission is accountability and responsibility. When you maintain to your parents and to your leaders, you will find yourself freedom to excel in your giftings and your grace that God has given, and you will function to what God has called you for. Amen. The next one is maintain an unconditional surrender to God's will. As we grow older, this should be our cry. This should be our cry. Lord, I surrender myself to the will of God. There are times the flood and the wind and the rain comes in and shakes you. At that time, just say, Lord, I want to submit to your will and to your purpose. You verbalize. There are times that we do not know what is happening around. When the wind and the storm and everything hits you, you got to say, Lord, whatever it is, let your will be done. Jesus at the cross, just before the cross, in Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt and he said, let your will be done, not my will, your will be done. And the moment he began to have, he went through the cross. In fact, I will perceive this way. Jesus won the energy and the power and the blessing and the protection at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, not my will, your will be done. He went through the cross. And some of us going through difficult time, you've got to say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. If you were to move this way, I want to tell you, you can be protected from covering, from deception. Practical covering against deception. We need to guard ourselves. And where is deception? It comes from the mind. The attacks of the mind. The attack, the battle of the mind. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Submission authority. Submission and surrender to God's will. These are the things I want to share with you that protect you in a very practical way. We'll talk about this a little while later somewhere about the word covering is all about. Outside the church is demonic realm. Yeah. Outside there is the demonic angels are working. Satan is working. Human deception. The church becomes your protection. That's a subject we have. The covering of the church. I believe today it's enough for us to know this dimension that you protect, especially at this season. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Shall we rise to our feet? I want to pray. I want to pray for protection. If your mind is deceived, you can go off tangent. We are living in the times of this. Deception will increase. False prophecy will increase. But by the fruit, you will know. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father, you who have bought the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, through the blood, death, burial, resurrection, and the blood of Jesus, a very expensive price that you brought us. This morning, I plead the blood of Jesus upon each one of us and to the body of Christ worldwide, citywide. I plead the blood of Jesus. I cancel every schemes of the devil, yes, of deceptions and ignorance. Through ignorance, I cancel the power.
Yes.
Give us a love for the truth.
Yes.
Give us a love for the,
yes,
word of God.
Yes.
Give us a love for God, the,
yes,
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Give us a love for the body of Christ.
Yes.
Give us the love and the grace to submit to leaders, submit,
yes,
to church leaders, protection, representative. Lord, that we will be protected from evil and harm. Let the covering be true. Let the covering be strong. That when we are tested, we are strong. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. I want the musician to sing the song. On